keep up to date with all things Reading FC. Follow the Tilehurst End on Facebook and Twitter.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by ZCZ Films. Remember, if you want to get involved in sponsoring the show, drop us an email to thetilehurstend@gmail.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the very first episode of the Reading FC Transfer Show here on the Tilehurst End. Welcome if you are watching on YouTube. A little bit of an experiment. We'll see how it goes today. Hopefully, we'll have a couple of these every couple of weeks throughout the summer, depending, I suppose, on how busy it gets in terms of transfer rumours. It should be pretty busy considering Reading need pretty much a whole squad of players this summer, having let several go so far. Also, hello and welcome if you are listening as a podcast on your usual Spotify, Acast feeds and whatever. Hopefully you do enjoy this. It's not going to be a regular length show. Hopefully we'll try and keep it down to sort of 20, 30 minutes-ish. As I say, it depends on how many rumours and done deals and exits there are to discuss. Obviously, this is our first episode, so there's been plenty of rumours and stuff throughout the summer so far, but we're going to try and stick to the most recent ones. I'll be honest, I did have a rough plan for this show yesterday, but that's pretty much gone out the window because there's been a couple of bits of news today, both ingoings and incomings and outgoings. And we'll get straight to those now. Joining me, if you are listening on the podcast or if you're watching on YouTube, as you can see, we've got Ben Thomas and Adam Jones joining me, also from the Tilehurst End and Berkshire Live's Reading FC writer, Jonathan Lowe. You'll hear from all of them throughout today's show. But let's get straight to it then. Probably the biggest news from today, as I say, luckily we are recording today and not last night, because today we have got pretty much close to near confirmation that one of Reading's out-of-contract players is going to be leaving this summer. That is Josh Laurent. Mike McGrath from The Telegraph first reported this news that Stoke City are set to sign him when his Reading contract expires. Jonathan, you back this up as well. How close is this, do we think, Jonathan? Is it pretty much going to happen in the next couple of days?
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, as we're speaking Thursday evening, I imagine it might drag into next week. I think basically a deal has been agreed in principle, and it's just a case of dotting the I's, crossing the T's, etc., and it'll go through. So obviously it's a big shame. Perhaps there's a little bit of a shock. I don't know. I mean, obviously everyone will have their own opinion. Start of the summer, you would have thought that probably all the key players will be leaving the club who are out of contract. Sounds like, you know, a few of them are going to be staying on, so that's good news. But unfortunately, for Reading, certainly from my perspective, losing Josh Laurent is a big blow, certainly on and off the pitch. And we wish him the best of luck. Stoke had given that a better offer, I think, basically financially, and also, you know, ultimately he wants to get to the Premier League, and he sees Stoke City as a quicker route there than Reading, and you can't really disagree with him, can you?
No, we were talking off air, Ben, that it feels a little bit frustrating that, you know, someone like Josh Laurent, who, you know, has been one of Reading's best players for the last 2 years since he joined on a free from Shrewsbury. He's gone to Stoke, who finished, I think, 13th or 14th in the Championship last season. John Swift, who we all thought had Premier League potential, has gone to West Brom. He finished 10th in the Championship last season. But do we have to kind of accept now that this is where Reading are? Reading are a bottom six Championship club. We, you know, on points alone last season, without any deductions, we would have been relegated to League One. Yes, Josh Laurent, I think it's pretty clear, gave his all for the club. But the last 2 years, as you know, we saw, he was sort of leading the celebrations for those big wins against Sheffield United, against Swansea as well. Clearly gave his all for the club, loved the club, very passionate about it. But ultimately, you know, Reading in the situation they're in, you know, a transfer embargo again this summer, trying to cut wages. It's not an attractive proposition for either players who are currently here or players who might be thinking about coming in.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, I think Laurent really has been a success story over the last 2 years and one of the rare positives at the club. You know, we're fully aware that Bowen courted him for quite a while before he signed from Shrewsbury. So it's potentially a bit of a gamble bringing him in, but he's been fantastic on and off the pitch. You know, every time I've met him personally, he's been great. fantastic with the fans sort of off the pitch as well. So it's very, very difficult to accept. But we have to accept, as you said earlier off air, that we're now a bottom six championship side. And we're losing arguably our two best players to teams that we'd probably look at and go, well, they're probably mid-table to potentially upper championship sides. And that's where we're at, really. you know, I don't blame him for going. It's where we are. I think as Reading fans, we knew that this off-season was going to be difficult. But to kind of lose them in quick succession and, you know, I suppose potentially have the carrot dangled with Loren potentially staying. You know, we knew full well that Swift wasn't going to sign new deals with us. So it is troubling and it is difficult. But we have to get these players out quickly if they're not going to be part of our future and look to rebuild moving forward in what is going to be, you know, another difficult season for us. So it's not a surprise, really. I think, as we've said, the only real shock is the destination. And no disrespect to Stoke, but they've not been a footballing powerhouse for a long time. So he clearly sees something in the project that he's been offered there to push on with his career and potentially get his aspirations with them in the Premier League, potentially.
They have now got the dream Reading FC midfield, Stoke, with Lewis Baker and Josh Laurent in those holding roles. They're pretty much, you know, I think that's what a lot of Reading fans would have liked to have seen at the Select Carly Singh Stadium. But Adam, finally on Josh Laurent, just how big of a miss will he be? You know, 81 player of the season in his first season, you know, had a pretty, was probably in contention for player of the season this time around, probably a little bit of recency bias because he finished the season quite strongly. But even at the start of the season, he was filling in at centre-back, obviously naturally more of a holding midfielder, but ended the year, you know, playing number 10. So versatile, really, sort of in that squad, particularly with all the injuries. How big of a miss will he be for us?
Absolutely massive. I think that performance against Fulham Fulham away was just sublime, really, at centre-back. I thought that was one of the best centre-half performances that I've seen. He's not even an actual centre-back. I think in terms of him being a big miss, I think he's the type of player that we should be looking to tie down to a long-term contract. Obviously, finances at the moment make it very difficult, but he's a player who's kind of on the way up in his career, really. You know, recruited him from a League One side for free. You know, exactly the type of transfers we should be doing, really, and exactly the type of players that we should be tying down. So in terms of our identity and that sort of thing, it's not exactly the greatest thing either, because we'll probably bring in someone who's perhaps maybe a 32 or 33-year-old, maybe a Danny Drinkwater or something like that as a replacement, and you want someone who's going to be there for the long term. So, you know, it is a massive miss. I think he's not hit his ceiling yet. I think he's still got some potential to fulfil. I know that he didn't have the best season during the 21-22 campaign, and I think that he'll admit that as well. But his first season here was superb, adapted to the second tier seamlessly. And I think if you put him under someone like, you know, I guess Michael O'Neill is decent enough, but say you put him under someone like Steve Cooper at Nottingham Forest, and I think he'll absolutely thrive. So, it's a massive shame to see him go. In terms of Stoke, I think they're a side that have got their act really together in the past year, that sort of thing. I think in terms of Stoke, obviously they spent massively in the summer of 2018, but in recent years, especially the last summer window, you know, last year, I thought they were very good in terms of their recruitment, recruited very well, even in January really with Lewis Baker and Phil Jagielka. So, you know, they're a side that, you know, perhaps are on the up. I think, you know, I'm not sure about their manager. Perhaps he should be sent upstairs and someone else could come in. But in terms of Stoke, I don't think it's the worst destination in the world, really. But I think they've got a very good player. And, you know, that's saying something, really, because, you know, they're in a mid-table position and we're in a, as you said earlier, kind of a bottom six position. So for us, he's even more valuable than he would be to Stoke. So it's a real crushing blow, really.
I'm sure they'll be tipped for promotion as they are every year, Stoke, and then start pretty well, and then they will fall away and almost certainly finish 12th or 13th, which will be higher than where Reading finish next season. But if we don't speak again on Josh Laurent in either a next episode or whatever, best of luck, Josh, and thank you very much for you've been absolutely brilliant. I think for me, he was our player of the season that first year, definitely, and definitely was in contention last year as well. Jonathan, of course, he's probably not going to be the only exit we have over the next couple of weeks. Still several players out of contract, still technically contracted to the club until the end of the month, till the 30th of June. Players return for pre-season next week, I believe, and obviously the season itself starts early because of the World Cup on July the 30th is the first championship game. What's the situation with all these out of contract players? Do they return next week? Do they sit around waiting for a club? I have got the list here because I'm almost certainly going to forget one of them. Aside from Josh Laurent, there is still Andy Yeardom, Tom Holmes, Michael Morrison, Andrew Marta, Junior Hoylett and Femi Aziz, all the other senior players who are all out of contract. What's the latest on any of those? Are any of those close? I think we believe Tom Holmes might be signing a contract the next couple of days. But any positive news you can give us regarding the rest of those out of contract players? I think you're on mute.
It always happened. Had to happen once, didn't it? So Andy Yeardom and Tom Holmes I'm very sure they're both going to sign. So Yeardom's been away on international duty, I think. So I don't think he'll be back quite yet. Same with a couple of the other players like Puskas. He's obviously been away, so he'll probably come back a bit later. Junior Hoylett's away with Canada. I'm not sure exactly when he's returning, but. Obviously, he has been offered a contract now. Whether he accepts it or not remains to be seen. Femi Aziz, I think they are still hopeful of getting him tied down. And you know, if you were to push me, I think he will re-sign. Who else? Michael Morrison. I think that they're basically saying thank you and goodbye, basically. So I don't expect him to come back, even though obviously he's officially under contract until the end of the month. We won't be seeing him again. And who was that? I think that was it, wasn't it? Out of that list. Andy Rinomoto as well. He's a bit of a funny one. I think I mentioned it the other day. He hasn't responded to Reading's offer of a new contract. Bristol City have been linked with him. Stoke as well. I think the Bristol City link is slightly stronger than Stoke for what it's worth. Unfortunately, I think if you were to push him on that one, I think he might be off. As much as it pains me to say it, because I'm a huge Rinomoto fan. I think he's been an absolutely fantastic player for Reading, and you know, someone they should really be looking to build a team around. But unfortunately, as things stand at the moment, I think he might be moving on. So that'll be another big hole to fill from a Reading perspective. So yeah, they're going to have the players who are around will be back next week. I think they're next Wednesday. It was meant to be Monday, but it's been changed to Wednesday. As I say, a few of the international players will be back a bit later. And a big case of just, I guess, easing into the fitness routine, regime, everything, and light training, I guess. And hopefully in the next couple of weeks before the friendlies kind of really kick in, hopefully they can get a few more bodies over the line. You know, like always, the squad, I'm sure, will be supplemented by under 23 players. And they'll be looking to, do their business as soon as possible. But it's not through want of trying. They are trying to get players over the line. Clearly, the embargo, it's not quite an embargo, actually. It's the restrictions more that are hampering them doing the deals. And understandably, all the players that Reading are looking at, such as free agents and loan players, they're in no real rush to commit to their next club. They're waiting to see what's out there, seeing what offers are out there for them. So it's just a waiting game, and you know that they're waiting on. The clubs are holding on. So, and Reading are certainly not unique in this position. So as frustrating as it is, I think we're just going to have to sit tight and be patient, and hopefully kind of a few signings here and there will get over the line in the next couple of weeks or so.
It's quite frankly unfair if Stoke get Andy Rinomoto, Lewis Baker and Josh Laurent all in the same midfield. So if Andy does go, then hopefully he heads to Bristol City and not to the Bet365 stadium. Just very, very frustrating. As we were saying earlier, ultimately, Reading's not a very attractive club at the moment for either players who are thinking about sticking around and signing contracts or free agents coming in. I've looked on at Cardiff's business the last few weeks with absolute jealousy, because they're going about their business very, very quickly. I think they've already got about 8 or 9 players through the door. They seem to be signing someone pretty much every single day. Obviously, they're not under the same restrictions that Reading are under, but still, even then, a few of their players have been free agents that would have been available to Reading. But obviously, again, even Cardiff, who finished 19th, 20th last season, are still a more attractive proposition than Reading are. One player who might be coming in, who is a he's a soon to be free agent. We were talking about his pronunciation off air, so hopefully I do it justice. I think his name, his first name is definitely Brandon. I believe the second name is Ormond Ottewill. Hopefully that's the correct pronunciation. Jonathan, you reported this this morning. 26 years old, a left back. He's been playing his football over in Holland for the last 5 years, the last 2.5 years with Excelsior, who he won promotion to the Eredivisie with last season. Started his career in Arsenal's academy and then made his professional debut for Swindon. So don't hold that against him. But yeah, how close might this be, Jonathan? And he'd be a bit of competition from Burnley and Ipswich, I think. But what are the chances of Brandon coming through the door?
I think it's relatively early stages at the moment. He's somewhere on their radar, if you like. He's been sort of described as quite an attacking fullback, can play wing back as well. We'll obviously fit in at Reading. I think we all know the lack of left back options that they've got. There's a few clubs in for him, a couple more in League One as well, I think. So, Reading obviously don't have the finances and may not even have the finances of a League One side, but the one thing they could offer him is regular game time, I would have thought. And a chance to, he wants to come back to England. He's been out in the Netherlands for the last few years or so. Lay down a marker and really kind of establish himself again in English football and perhaps use it as a stepping stone for a bigger move. So, I think there are advantages of Reading. Clearly, we all know about the training ground and the infrastructure is there. We'll have to see how the next year pans out, but if you're a glass half full kind of person, then which I'm not actually, I think I'm actually half empty, but I'm trying to be half full at least. Reading is an attractive proposition. I guess they're not going to be able to compete with someone like Burnley's wages, but no disrespect to Burnley, but does he want to go all the way up there? And they're going to be recovering from Premier League, and morale might not be too good. Obviously, morale's not brilliant at Reading either, but you never know. Answering your question, I think it's kind of early stages, but we'll have to wait and see. It's not really a done deal just yet.
I think he's a London boy, Brandon, so that can play a part sometimes. I think that does come to some players' considerations. I think Danny Williams was one player I remember who's sort of like playing for Reading because it was so close to London, and it is, as opposed to a Burnley where you have to go up north, it can sometimes be attractive to players. Ben, I'm not going to ask you whether you know much about this guy, because I'm imagining you probably don't unless you follow the Dutch leagues. But is this sort of going to be the sort of player we're going to have to be looking at? Not a household name, someone who maybe deserves a chance in the Championship. Not someone, obviously they've got to cut the wage bill, so they can't bring in big hitters. Are we going to have to sort of be a little bit realistic with the players we're bringing? It all comes down to the fact that Reading's not a very attractive club to play for at the moment, so we're going to have to look at players a little bit further down the ladder.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment we're the last dog at the bowl for transfers, so I don't think we can be. Historically, we've been quite arrogant and quite picky with the players we'd want to see, and he's not good enough, or they're not particularly good for our footballing philosophy, whatever that was years ago. So, it's going to be very, very difficult to judge these players until they've come in and they've had sort of 5, 6, 7 games for us. And I think realistically, this is the kind of player that we're at the moment, certainly for the next year and potentially 2 years while we get through these sanctions. Until we can start laying down some transfer money for players and paying agent fees, this is going to be the kind of signing that we're looking at. And it's unlikely that we're going to get in any players that are not loans, or rather, permanent signings. We're going to be looking at loans again. And this kind of player would fit. It seems to me, with the kind of the strong rumours that, looking down the list that we've had, obviously talk about goalkeepers in a minute, but I would hope that they're kind of working from goalkeeper position forward, because we've still got some players that, that can still do a job for us that are under contract, and potentially we could get some money in further up the field as well. So, you know, if we were to sell those players. So I think it would be sensible to start from, you know, goalkeeper and moving forward. But yeah, for sure, this kind of stuff, we have got, as Jonathan said, we've got no competition at left back whatsoever. So at the moment, if they left footed and they play left back, then bring them in, you know, like I could do that job. So if I was a couple of years younger and a bit fitter. So it's one of those where we've got to be realistic. And I think, you know, the one positive for coming into this season is that our fans' expectations are kind of a bit more realistic and kind of slightly lower than they were last year. And I think that was part of the problem, in that we brought in some on paper, some good players, and the performance just weren't good enough. And that's kind of, you know, created this quite unpleasant environment. So, you know, we know where we are, you know, long term. We've got to get these players out. If they're not going to stay, we need to do that very, very quickly, so that Ince and the rest of the guys in the top office can mould some sort of team for potentially July the 30th, which is, you know, looking at the calendar, is very, very close. And at the moment, it's making me very, very nervous about the fact that we've got seven players coming back into Bearwood that are, you know, senior professionals at the moment. So we'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks. I would expect us to lose a few more players before we get more players in. But it's nice to have, you know, a little bit of excitement. And this signing, I think, would once people have done their research on YouTube and Google and stuff, probably will be a bit more up for this signing particularly.
Well, one player people have done their research on or more have listened to fans of his current club is Joe Lumley, and that's not gone down brilliantly well, let's say, with Reading fans, based off the reviews from Middlesbrough fans. We'll end on this one now. Joe Lumley, seems if it's close to being done. Jonathan, you can correct me on that if I'm wrong in a minute, but seemingly a season-long loan deal from Middlesbrough. Joe Lumley, 27 years old, goalkeeper, as I say, spent last season at Middlesbrough. Having spent the rest of his career before that at QPR, went out on loan several times, but came through the QPR academy, and you know, that's, I think, where the link comes from with Mark Bowen, who was assistant manager at QPR about a decade ago, when Lumley was coming through the academy, much like Josh Lauren was, and then obviously Bowen signed him a couple of years ago. Jonathan, again, a similar sort of question: how close is this to being done? Do we think it's going to happen in the next couple of days?
From what I believe, I think he had his medical on Wednesday, so I think it's basically there. I don't know why it hasn't been announced, but I think it will be happening. So yeah, another, I guess, interesting signing for in the history of Reading FC, isn't it? Obviously hasn't gone down too well, as you mentioned. I'm prepared to give him a chance. I don't know too much, a huge amount about him. Clearly, I've seen the viral video on YouTube going around, which doesn't paint him in the best picture. But you know, he has got a good amount of experience at this level. Played most of the games for Middlesbrough last season, albeit was dropped towards the end of the season. spoke to one reporter up in Middlesbrough who said, you know, he's a talented player, he's got ability, but he has a mistake in him. But what goalkeeper doesn't, really? Only if you're looking at the likes of who am I thinking of, Edison and Alisson, then they're not going to have any. I think Alisson has just set off my other device with a similar name. so sorry about this.
Appearance from Alexa on the radio
station. So yeah. You know, so hopefully, you know, a good player for this level. I imagine I think he's going to come in as the number one, and we'll see how he gets on. He's going to have a good pre-season. That's one good thing. That's one thing that most of the players probably won't have. So hopefully, you know, he can start off strongly, and we'll see where we end up.
Yeah, 34 championship appearances for Middlesbrough last season, 13 clean sheets, which isn't actually that bad, particularly considering, I think, between them, Raphael, Southwood, Hine and Nyland, four goalkeepers kept about three between them. So 13 for Joe Lumley in 34 appearances, 34 goals conceded in that time. So one goal per game conceded. And as you say, Jonathan, drops towards the end of the season as Middlesbrough's playoff push emerged. Adam, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because ultimately we are you know, sort of prejudice, I suppose, having seen all these reviews from Middlesbrough fans who are, you know, laughing at Reading and very glad to see the back of Joe Lumley. It also makes, I suppose, not too much sense in terms of getting him in on a season-long loan deal when Reading have, I think it's six loan deals. I think you can sign seven, but you can only have six loanies in the matchday squad. So for it to be a goalkeeper who is, you know, sort of 27, Jonathan?
Five in the squad, but seven overall, yeah.
That's why you're Berkshire Live's Reading FC correspondent. Indeed. So it makes it a little bit, it makes it slightly strange for him to take up one of those spots. I think when you look at particularly sort of goalkeepers, you might look at maybe a free agent for that. Obviously, we saw what Oyun Nylund could do when he came in last season. So you might think there might be a little bit more value in sort of free agent goalkeepers rather than getting a loan signing in. I suppose no Reading fans have seen that much of Joe Lumley apart from what we've seen from Middlesbrough fans. Is it worth saying that, you know, wait to see what he can do Reading? Because as Jonathan says, any goalkeeper at this level will have an error in them. And is it, you know, I think someone brought up the example of Marcus Hanneman, who Fulham fans said was terrible, and you know, then obviously has turned out to be one of Reading's greatest goalkeepers of all time. So is it worth bearing in mind, as we were saying earlier, that you have to set your expectations slightly low with Reading signings this summer, and you have to be sort of open-minded to players coming in throughout, and that includes Joe Lumley, despite the comments from Middlesbrough fans.
Yeah, I saw a few games of Lumley's recently, and I saw the one which he was especially poor against Manchester United. I don't think that game did him any favours, especially on kind of ITV1, you know, main television. I think for me, he's the type of signing who will kind of excel at Reading. I think we've brought in some big names, you know, in the past, like obviously Sonia Luko, who came in for a big fee and then didn't do very well. So, you know, this is a type of signing who will come in with very low expectations and will thrive. In terms of the loan point, I think you've got a good point there, especially kind of, I think you'd probably get a free agent in the goalkeeping department more easily than in other areas, to be honest with you. But I think my theory is Middlesbrough, I think, are going to sell Jed Spence during the summer. And I think they'll get quite a lot of money for that. And I think because of that, they'll be kind of willing, I think, to subsidise some of his wages. I mean, that's just a theory that I have. I have no inside information at this stage, but that's just kind of like a theory that I have. And especially with the business plan that we've got to follow, you know, having his wages partly subsidised or fully subsidised would be ideal for us, really. And I think Middlesbrough are kind of going for a goalkeeping kind of rebuild in the summer, with Luke Daniels not doing too much either, really, not doing enough to be first choice kind of shot stopper. So, you know, getting two goalkeepers, you know, off the wage bill permanently will probably be quite a difficult task for them. So I think they could probably kind of perhaps come to some sort of arrangement where they could terminate Daniel's contract. But then with Joe Lumley, they'll probably kind of just loan him out just to kind of get him kind of away from the Riverside, really, and bring in kind of two new goalkeepers. I know that they've been linked with Daniel Everson and Carl Darlow. I'm not sure if the latter's going to happen, because I'm not sure that Newcastle were willing to negotiate an agreement just yet. But, you know, I do think that it's probably be quite a cheap deal for us. I can't see us paying 100% of his wage, especially with the Spence factor. And I think that Marcus Tavernier is kind of closing in on a deal to go to Bournemouth, according to The Sun. So, you know, there's a lot of funds there where they can kind of pay quite a bit of Lumley's wages. And, you know, it's a good deal for all parties, really. You know, Reading won't have to pay a huge amount for him. And you know, that's probably good with the business plan. Middlesbrough can get him off their kind of off their back for a little bit. You know, and bring two new goalkeepers in for kind of a promotion push. And I think for Lumley, I think having a new start would be ideal. I know that he's there's been some quite bad kind of social media criticism of him from Middlesbrough fans. Obviously, he's come here with a reasonably clean slate. Obviously, there's been a little bit of a bad reaction to this rumour, but you know, this link, and obviously we're just going to have to wait and see, because it looks like this deal's getting over the line. And you know, once it does get over the line, then you know, we've got to back him and give him our full support, because I don't think we have any other choice, really. And you know, if he's going to be a role, then we've got to back him, really. But you know, this could end up being a better deal than many people expect. But I've seen some of his performances recently, and I am a little bit nervous. But we'll just wait and see and hope for the best.
We have had some comments. I should have been keeping an eye on these. As I say, we're very new to this live stream. We have had some comments, so thank you very much for everyone who has got involved. I took a couple of them on screen now. Max Ashley said, I think it's time to move on and accept we need newer blood and new players. I think, well, definitely this season we are going to have, you know, I think the squad comparison to last year is going to be very, very different indeed. Alistair Hargreaves says, mixed news today, sadly we lost Laurent, but hope we can get a replacement in Sharpish. Not too sure about Lumley, but I'm looking forward to seeing Holmes signing a new deal. Yeah, hopefully Tom Holmes, that does go through the next few days. And Will Allen, no relation, I can promise you. As in, not a bad thing, Will, as in you haven't commented on here just because you're a relative of mine. You have tuned in of your own free will, so thank you very much. Would rather see Luke Zappa get a chance over Joe Lumley. Luke's only just turned 24, which is so young for a goalkeeper. Thank you, Will. You're not a plant, but you have moved the segment on very nicely to our final point. There, which I was going to ask you about, Luke Southwood. We put a poll out yesterday ahead of this transfer show asking people whether they would rather Joe Lumley or Luke Southwood as Reading's number one next season. And it was overwhelmingly in favour of Luke Southwood, 81% of respondents saying Luke Southwood should be number one over Joe Lumley. Again, I suppose those comments from Middlesbrough fans have a part to play in that. But do you think that the poll has, you know, sort of disregarded Luke Southwood slightly too easily here, because he obviously wasn't a fan of him when he came in, because he brought Ojan Nyland in through the door pretty much straight away when Paul Ince came in. Obviously, Veljko Panovic gave him a go when he dropped, well, when Raphael broke his hand in September. But even then, Veljko Panovic didn't seem to be a huge fan of him when it got to January, because he brought Carl Hein in from Arsenal. But Luke Southwood won the Tyler's Den Player of the Month 3 months in a row. Not that's a huge indicator of anything, but, you know, his performances, I think it's very easy to forget in that sort of winter period last season, sort of October, November. He was probably one of Reading's standout performers. You know, obviously we didn't win too many games, but he was certainly keeping Reading in games with some very, very strong saves. And it almost feels to me as if Paul Ince has disregarded him, you know, pretty soon without really taking a look. You know, obviously Paul Ince sees him in training and, you know, can probably make a better judgment than many of us can. But and perhaps there are sort of both tinted glasses to a certain degree, because he is one of our own. He's an academy product. But does Luke Southwood, you know, he's 24 now, and you look at someone like Joe Lumley coming in, is that a spot where potentially, you know, you've got players like Jochen Andresen and Kenia Boyce Clark in the academy coming through? Might it have been a better situation where, you know, loan spots are limited or whatever, where you have Luke Southwood, you trust him as number one, you have someone like Andresen or Kenia Boyce Clark as number two?
Is that to me?
I directed it at Ben, but anyone can answer.
Shall I go first? I'll go first. I think he has been a bit unfortunate. I do like Luke Southwood. I think he obviously had some very eye-catching performances last season. But unfortunately, when Paul Ince came in, like you said, he almost completely disregarded him. I think his last game was the 4-0 Nottingham Forest defeat. And I remember, I think I recently looked back at his comments post-match after that, and they were pretty scathing, not specifically for Southwood, but the team overall. Really wasn't happy with him, and in the few press conferences I had with Paul Ince at the back end of the season, he wasn't really too complimentary about Southwood, and spoke about the need to strengthen the goalkeeping department, hence bringing in Ojan Nyland. One thing he said about Nyland was he's much more vocal and sort of imposing in the changing room, and that's obviously something that he wants from his goalkeepers. Southwood, obviously, you know, as we all know, is a very good shot stopper. Perhaps in terms of commanding his box, maybe not quite as good, but you know, he's still got lots and lots of time on his side to develop that side of his game. So whether he should be number one for next season, you know, I would have liked to have seen it. Yes, will it happen? I don't think it will, because I think Joe Lumley will. Would I have liked Luke Southwood to be number one and Jochen Andresen and Kenia Boyce-Clark and Harvey Collins to be the number two? Possibly not, because I think, you know, they could benefit from a much more experienced goalkeeper. So, you know, there's pros and cons on of the whole situation. And he's got a year left on his contract, I think, Southwood now. So, you know, does he stick around for another year? Perhaps, you know, as a number two and just playing here and there? or does he try and maybe step down league and establish himself and really kick on that way? It's a big decision for him to make. He loves Reading. You know, he's put in some really good performances. He's popular with the fans. Like you said, he's one of their own. So really, really want to see him flourish. And clearly he's got that talent and ability. But unfortunately, he hasn't quite convinced the people he needs to convince. So, time will tell if he sticks around or if he does jump at a move elsewhere. But, I think I would like to see him stick around, but I wouldn't be surprised if he does leave.
Ben, here we go then. The final word on the Joe Lumley, Luke Southwood debate.
I just think we've struggled with goalkeepers since Al Habsi's left, really. I mean, obviously, Rafael had a really good debut season for us, fantastic. But, we've not done well historically over the last couple of years. We've had Virginia, we've had Bond, slightly different era, I guess. Sam Walker, people like this, they've not really made it their own. And, the most damning statistic out of the whole of last season was the fact we used four goalkeepers and none of them really stood out. Southwood, when he was getting the awards from us, and I stand by those awards, as he was covering a very very leaky, very nondescript defence, and he did very well because he was saving a lot of shots that would have ended up in the back of the net. So it's clearly there's been some fallout. Jonathan obviously knows a little bit better than we do. But my concern really is that any player that's under contract, we should be looking to keep. We're not offering new terms. They're under contract with us. We shouldn't be looking to move them out at the moment. But Paul Ince and the club in general seem to be desperate for Southwood to leave. And if I was Luke Southwood, it would make no sense for me to stay and sit on the bench at 24. I need to be playing games and trying to make a career out of the game. So, he didn't have the best of seasons. He was a very mixed bag with Luke Southwood. But at the same time, it's better the devil you know. And that's why I guess a lot of people voted rather than keeping, having Southwood over bringing Lumley in. 3 years in goalkeeping terms isn't that much. And we're not going to, be in the market for some of those bigger players, those experienced goalkeepers that we need and we all know we need. So it kind of... It's a very, very difficult one to call. Clearly, if Lumley comes in and it's looking likely that's going to be the case, then I wouldn't expect Southwood to stay, as Jonathan said. But I do feel that he should have been given a chance as number one this season and go, right, it's yours, make it your own. But that's clearly not going to happen. So it's going to be difficult for him to come back from this. And, yeah, I would expect him to move on if Lumley signs on for us for the season.
Yeah, I mean, he's 24 now, as you say. He wants to be playing football. He's gone out on loan a couple of times. He's done pretty well, deserved his chance by all accounts in the first team. And he's only made 22 league appearances, which really isn't that many at all. It's, that's just under half a season. So he deserves a chance, in my opinion, to still prove himself. But, whether it's a battle between him and Joe Lumley for number one, sometimes competition can bring the best out of players. And, if they're fighting for that number one shirt, then maybe one of them will go on a string of good performances. But, it's always difficult because, you look at Reading's goals against Colham last season and, we conceded, I think it was the most in the Championship. But that's not always down to the goalkeeper. It was, partly down last season to horrific defence. But as you say, Ben, the fact that we got through four goalkeepers last season, never a good sign. We got through four goalkeepers. It was 18-19 when Emi Martinez came in as the fourth choice as the fourth goalkeeper after... was it Vito Minone, Sam Walker and Ansi Yacola? Some blasts in the past there. But yeah, never a good sign when you get through four goalkeepers in a season. So hopefully, whether it's Lumley and Southwood, whether Andreessen gets a crack, someone like Jochen Andreessen is, I think he's 21, 22 now. So he's not going to want to stick around for ages and ages. Got first team chance last season at Morecambe, did very well at Exeter the year before as well. So he's going to be another player who's going to want first team opportunities. So it will be interesting to see how that develops, and of course how the rest of all the transfer rumours develop. As I say, hopefully we bring in this show, maybe not weekly because I've not got that much time on my hands, but hopefully fortnightly. Again, it depends on how much activity there is, but I suspect in a couple of weeks' time There may be some, well, definitely some more exits, but hopefully, I absolutely beg to God that there will be some incomings as well. But that just about rounds up today's show. So thank you very much, everyone who's been watching on YouTube, and thank you to everyone who sort of left a comment as well. And also, if you're listening to this in podcast form, hopefully you have enjoyed. Thank you, Jonathan, Adam, and Ben, for joining me today. You can, if we're watching on YouTube, you can all give a wave to say thank you very much for joining us. And thank you very much, as I say, for watching, listening. Come on, you are. See you soon.
Be loud and be proud and back the boys and make some noise. Come on, you are.
Shout out to this week's podcast sponsor, ZCZ Films, showing that age is no barrier to being a hooly hoop.